Months into the coronavirus pandemic, we're still trying to figure out our risks indoors versus outside. Just last week, the World Health Organization backed away from its stance that indoor transmission of the virus was rare and largely confined to medical procedures like administering a ventilator. Now the WHO says smaller particles that are spread by talking or breathing are a problem indoors. And in the hot summer weather, we're wondering, what's the latest thinking on whether air conditioning can spread those particles? Shelley Miller is one of the experts who petitioned the WHO to change its position. She's a professor of environmental engineering who studies indoor air quality at the University of Colorado at Boulder. Professor Miller, welcome to Here Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
First of all, are you surprised that we're still having this debate about indoor air and the coronavirus, or that it took the WHO so long to update its position?
I am dismayed that it took this long and still surprised, yes. I wish that we had recognized that this was a major risk months ago, but when we first asked the WHO to consider in March. But now I'm hoping that we can get back on track, although there are other factors, as you know, testing and other things that are causing our conditions here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit, though, about the WHO recognizing that smaller particles, which we call aerosols, are a problem indoors. Describe these particles and why we are talking about them now.
From an aerosol science point of view, when we say aerosol, we mean simply particles suspended in a gas, and the particles can be really any size. What we're focusing on here are particles that are generated when we're speaking loudly and talking and singing and doing other activities that release particles from our respiratory tract and through our mouths. And when they're released, you know, a lot of things can happen. They can evaporate quickly and they can be transported up and out away from our body and then become airborne and be moving around in the general environment for minutes to hours.
This is a big question for you, but can you estimate what percentage of the infections we're seeing right now are a result of the spread from indoor air? What's the latest thinking on that?
Well, we really do think that being indoors is where most of the transmission is occurring, and it's pretty rare now to see anything related to outbreaks from outdoor conditions. You know, we haven't investigated a lot of the current outbreaks and why the hospitals are just exploding. But, you know, when we're indoors a lot with poor ventilation inside and crowding and no masks, then it's a perfect recipe for transmission.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about air conditioning. I mean, either central or in-room air conditioning. Are these spreading coronavirus aerosols?
So we'll start with central air conditioning. When you centrally air condition a building, that means most of the air inside your building is recirculated and cooled in the building so that you can have a comfortable temperature inside. And you very rarely bring in much more than 20% or less outside air because it's hot and it takes a lot of building energy to cool that air. And so my concern is that in air conditioning buildings, you do not have enough outside air and you don't have enough adequate filtration in your recirculation system to suppress and decrease the concentrations that of the airborne virus that may be circulating in your environment. Now, we have not seen reported in the science any studies to date, and we are actively looking for this, that the virus can spread through the central air conditioning system to other parts of the building. We have not seen that yet. And so, you know, the transmission is happening locally inside the space where you are with lots of other people, and there's not enough outside air because you're trying to keep the air cool.
Mm-hmm. What about in-room air conditioning, specifically air conditioning units?
Again, the issue here is there's absolutely no outside air coming into the space to dilute the virus concentration. If you're the only person in the room or somebody else, like in a hotel room that you know that you've been sheltering in place with or what have you, it's fine. But if you're eating in a restaurant that has no outside air and is only recirculating the inside air through these air conditioning systems, the potential for transmission is much higher. And they also have very strong air flows. So many of them are just blowing on you. And that is a cooling effect, but it also can really move potential aerosols with virus around in a way that, you know, could potentially spread these particles around the space a little bit more strongly.
I'm thinking about how so many schools are in older buildings with poor ventilation. With this in mind, do you think schools can safely reopen in the fall?
I mean, our schools really are in a critical situation. They have been neglected. Now here we are with this pandemic. And what we need is to provide them resources. We need, you know, a huge influx of money to provide them with air cleaners, to provide them with maintenance and operation of their HVAC to make sure that they're operating as they should to keep teachers and students safe. And we need mask wearing. And it's just, you can't just say, let's open our schools. It's so frustrating to me because we know what to do. We know that it's better for the kids, for example, to stay in a classroom for about 30 minutes and then take a 15-minute break and go outside while the air in the room, you know, recirculates and cleans out the potential contaminants, and then restart your class another 30 minutes. You know, these are very clear things that can be done that I just don't think we are even considering and we need to be funding.
You've just come out with preliminary findings of a study on musical instruments for high school educators. What are you trying to discover there?
Yeah, we're about 10 days into our 6-month study of aerosol generation from musicians and performers so that we can better understand how to continue music education both at the university and high school and even elementary school level. And what we want to know is, you know, there's very little to no information in the current peer-reviewed literature on aerosol generation from musical instrument playing. And so we're trying to make those measurements in our test chamber, and then we want to be able to test mitigation measures, for example, putting a simple bell cover over the end of a clarinet and finding out how does that reduce the aerosol emissions from playing that instrument. So those are the kinds of tests we're actively doing now.
You're talking about wind instruments. Does this same thinking apply to singing?
You know, it does. And it's a general, if I may, principle of environmental engineering. You know, we're about solving environmental problems. And one of the things that we strongly adhere to is looking for the source of the problem and then trying to do anything to control the release of the contaminant right at the source. And so now the source is a person that's potentially infected, and they're going to release particles into the environment with virus that you can then inhale. So if we can keep that release from getting into the environment right at the source, then we're able to most effectively address this challenge. And that means, you know, we tested a singer in our lab, and we had her both sing with and without a mask. You know, it's very uncomfortable to sing with a mask. On the other hand, you know, the potential to release aerosol when you're singing with a mask is reduced. And so it's a really important challenge to look at. And I think right now we need to be accepting the fact that, yeah, it's not going to be that comfortable, but I still get to sing. And how great is that?
Shelley, what do you think the messaging should be on the spread of coronavirus indoors, and who's responsible for communicating that?
Well, I really think we need a much more clear guidance across the country about what we need to be doing indoors. And it's just been so hodgepodge, and you're having to rely on trying to find scientists like me to give this message when, you know, we really need, you know, leaders, you know, the federal government, our state officials, I think are doing a great job at many places, but we need them to say, you know, look, indoors is worse than outdoors. Poor ventilation is not going to be your friend. You need to wear a mask. You need to spend less time indoors with fewer people and not loudly talking without a mask or singing without a mask. And, you know, it's just super frustrating that we don't have this clear guideline, even from the WHO. And the CDC is doing, you know, a real reasonable job, although backing away from a lot of their important policies quickly, which is frustrating. We need it. We need a clear guidance so that everyone just does what they need to be doing to make this safe for everybody.
That's Shelley Miller. She is a professor of environmental engineering who studies indoor air quality at the University of Colorado at Boulder. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.